The Haunted Underpants by Dale Shaw, Episode 5. As we have heard, our hero, Gunston, has just decided to buy some underpants which are both talking and seem to be the ghost of a Viking all at the same time. Now we continue. So I decided to buy my underpants. The lift decided to take me back down and I found Mother still arguing about the lettuce, holding the scorched stalk under the nose of a weeping member of counterstaff.
But look, she was bellowing, how would this work in a salad? It would stick out like a sore thumb. I don't make salads to be conversation pieces. I want them to fly under the radar.
I'm sorry, the assistant sobbed. We don't have the capacity to offer a refund on burnt greens. I can offer you this chalk.
The assistant slid a small box of chalk across the counter while waggling his eyebrows in a most upsetting way. There was a cartoon image of a walrus on the outside. Mother weighed up the deal in her mind.
Acceptable!
She finally blurted out and snatched up the chalk. The assistant swiped the letters from the counter and vanished beneath some curtains. I then alerted Mother to my presence by stamping my foot repeatedly. This was the method she preferred. She feared assassins.
Oh!
She said.
Gunston, yes? Pants!
I held out the pants to show her. The pants were silent. I assumed this would be the way. In most stories of magical talking things, the magical talking thing tends to keep quiet in front of authority figures. I've no idea why. The authority figures certainly have a lot more to offer than a child, especially a child like me, who had been told repeatedly by people and in the local press that I had nothing to offer. But those were the standard fictional things that happened, and I was too hungry and stupid to go about rocking the boat.
They look a little large, she said.
I'll grow into them.
Not under my roof,
she screeched, irate. I think this was a reference to something quite rude, but thankfully my baffled expression and the fight that had just broken out between two pregnant ladies grappling with the same soiled paddling pool diverted her attention. Without another word, we made our way to the tills. I had a feeling of unease, but then I always had a feeling of unease. That was just the way I was built. But my unease grew as the pants were purchased and the hideous portrait of Mr. Payne appeared to grin wider for a moment. Once at home, I decided I needed some help coming to terms with these talking underpants. So I decided to see my grandfather. Grandfather lived in a home, but despite this, he was an idiot. But of all the members of my family, Uncle Graham the Stupid, Thick Cousin Fletcher, Mandy the Dim, Aunt Sue the Very Confused and Daft Cath, he was, unbelievably, the most sensible. Possibly because he didn't have a nickname referring to his limited intelligence. I decided to go and ask his advice about the underpants. Though he'd spent his entire life working in the same tyre factory and, on retirement, had been immediately moved into the home that sat next door to the tyre factory, I felt he might have had some more experience with haunted Viking underwear than me. Though, I have to say, I was not entirely convinced by the story that my talking underpants was offering. They didn't seem to know even the most basic facts about Vikings. My pants appeared to be mixing them up with pandas, insisting they ate bamboo, were black and white, and had trouble having babies. The tyre factory that I mentioned earlier was in the shape of a large tyre, so it seemed to make perfect sense that the old people's home next to the tyre factory was in the shape of an enormous old person. The one responsible for all this was called Crisscross Chaffington, who ploughed his immense fortune into large buildings resembling the things they happened to be, including an airport that looked like one of those grey plastic security trays that you find at the airport. The old people's home was called Dennis, as presumably that was the name of the old person it resembled. You entered via the toe of his slipper. Grandfather's room was located in Dennis's right elbow. I knocked and got no answer. I entered, looked down, and then there he was, on the floor. He appeared to be dead. In the next installment, guess what? He's not really dead.